moving have I taught you the biblical principles of the Word of God. I picked up a book yesterday. I was down in my office downstairs for a second. I saw a book that I began reading. And it was a famous pastor, and he was a great pastor. And in his biography, he wrote, "I tried a lifetime to teach my people basic things so they could live for God." And I thought, boy, yeah, that's what it's about. When I was in college and I was redshirted for 1 year, which did not make me very happy, I took on a football team, sixth graders, fully pads, played as rough and tough as just the big boys. And, of course, I want to win. I don't like to lose. I want to win. And, okay, I know. It's not how you play. It's not if you win or lose how you play the game. Never mind. I don't even go there. I ain't going to waste my time on that. But anyway, I went to my coach and I said, Coach Foster, I want to be a good coach. And I said, I get these Pee Wee League football team. And I said, what? And he took me very serious. He said, "Hey, Sheldon," he said, "I'll tell you what you do." He said, "Just teach them the basics. Teach them how to tackle. Teach how to hang on the ball. Teach them how to hike the ball. And teach them how to block. That's all you need to teach them. And it'll come to them." And he says, "Know that rule book in and out. That's your Bible." And fortunately, that year we only had 12 points scored on us all year, and we won the city championship. And it was an amazing thing. But it was because of the basics. I want to teach you the basics. I want you to get through life. When we had our Christian school, I said, all I want my kids to know is how to read, so that they can read their Bible and find out how God can get them out of trouble and God can keep them out of trouble, how to write, and how to use arithmetic. That's all I want. I want my kids to know how to read. And we are putting out our kids at half kindergarten, a half year, and thank to God, bless you, Carol Roush, about a half year into kindergarten, those kids are reading. And some of you remember that. That's a big deal. Thank God for Pam and Stacy, and I'm going to forget some of them. Ms. Koshu and Julie Donahue. My. Yeah. See, I told you I was going to forget. So, but, and some other ones. Mr. Lawrence and who's that crazy Army guy that his wife come and talk for us? He climbed up the face of McMahon. She was a great teacher. Anyway, and Rick Commando was a great teacher. Except he put the fire out that I thought was going to burn down our building, so we could add a new one. But anyway. So my job as a pastor is to encourage you to do right. And sometimes my job is not so easy when I have to, like I preached a sermon, an indictment this morning, that told Brother Rick, this is going to be really rough for me to preach because there are a lot of people that have a lot of love problems and a lot of problems in their life that are unwilling to forgive and unwilling to forget and unwilling to love. And that was a major, major thing that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about all the time. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, love your brother as yourself. And on and on and on. Tonight I want to talk about servitude, true servitude. John 13, let's stand and read God's Word tonight, giving God the honor of His blessed, precious book. John chapter 13, if you're able, I ask you to stand out of honor of the Word of God. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel therewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, what? Happy. Happy are ye if you do them. Spirit of God, I pray tonight you help us as we look into the Word of God. We are so bombarded with people who want to be served. But here we have a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the creator of this universe, who spoke this universe into existence, bowing down and washing mortals' feet and wiping them. Who are we to say that we would not be servants? Speak to our hearts now, God. Would you do a great work in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. When the Lord Jesus Christ took the towel and the bowl of water, began to wash the disciples' feet, Peter did not understand. He didn't understand what the Lord was doing. And instead of waiting for an explanation, he impulsively tried to tell the Lord what to do. You ever have people like that? Try to explain to them something, and all of a sudden they're telling you what to do. Or telling you that, no, that's not the way it's going to work. I am told by scholars that if you read this portion of Scripture in original language, you will find a strong double negative there in John chapter 13, verse 8. Kenneth Wiest, a Greek scholar, translated Peter's statement. He said, You shall by no means wash my feet, no, never. I guess he put his point across. By the way, Peter really meant that. But when he discovered that to refuse the Lord, it would mean he would lose the Lord's fellowship. And the next statement to his Lord so says completely the opposite. He says, Hey, you can give me a bath. It's Sometimes we don't understand everything the Word of God says to us. We need to stop and read the whole context and understand what it's about. First of all, I want you to see that Peter learned a lesson. We can learn an important lesson here from Peter, and we also can learn a lesson. Don't question the Lord's will. Don't question the Lord's work. And don't try to change it. We have a lot of churches today that are trying to change God's will, trying to change God's work, and trying to change God. We've got a lot of people today that, you know, they say, boy, if we can just get our church, you know, what do they call it? User-friendly. Boy, we shouldn't preach on the blood anymore. We shouldn't have the Lord's Supper anymore. We should bring in the rock groups and the and a country western, bring it in church and make us feel at home, you know, because that's what we listen to all week. We want to make sure that it just flows with the system. Au contraire, my friend, that is not what God said. Speaking in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, God says. It is our responsibility to stay very true to this Word of God. Now, if you want to go to that church, I will promise you there's a lot of churches like that. They won't meet tonight. They'll be meeting this morning. And then maybe have a couple of flock groups or shepherding groups on Wednesday or Thursday at somebody's house. Instead of, as the Bible says, that we are to assemble ourselves. We are to come together. And some people get so caught up and say, oh yeah, that really works. Does it? Are you telling me that the more you have in crowds, the better it is? Or do you take a biblical stand and say, thus saith the Lord God? I think I'll stay with that one, okay? I've been doing that for 45 years. I don't want to change anyone. I don't want honky-tonk music up here. I don't want some Bible that people are trying to read and they can't even find the verse with me because they have so many different words in that Bible or less words in that Bible. This may be a trivial statement to you, but did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ knows what He's doing? The Lord Jesus Christ knows what He does. He knew what He did when He wrote us this book, this Bible. He knew exactly what we needed. He knew exactly what we didn't need. He knows exactly what we're supposed to stay away from. He knew exactly what we're supposed to keep to. Just saying. Throughout Peter's discipleship, it seemed as though that he was always having a difficult time accepting Christ's ministry for him. He's got a lot of followers, amen. In the ministry, in Peter's discipleship, it seemed like he always had a hard time accepting Christ's ministry for him. It seems as though he has a lot of followers that call themselves Christian folks that think the same way he thought. Amen or oh me. Peter was not ready, and I think this is the answer. Peter was not ready to minister to anybody else. He wanted to be ministered to. That's why you sit in these pews or these chairs, and you come, and you have not taken hold of something and said, this is mine at Heritage Baptist Church. You came for a preaching service, amen? That's why you just slide in and slide out. You're not challenged to say, you know what? This is part of my ministry at Heritage Baptist Church. That's why I have these little things I gave out. I want you to literally think, what have you taken? This is where I have taken. I've taken ownership of this. How does a church exist without someone saying, you know what, preacher? I'll be more than happy to do that. Or, pastor, is there anything I can help you with? I've had more people tell me that. Pastor, boy, anything you want. And then I give them something, and all of a sudden, I don't know about that. And I've talked to a couple of you people lately, and I'm not talking to you. I have this sermon already done, so don't be so proud to think I'm talking about you. What do you do here? Warm that pew? Is that all you do? I come around the church every once in a while. I'm here, and all of a sudden I see someone pulling in. They're cleaning the church. They're doing this or doing that. Hey, someone has taken ownership. We have some needy people in our church. Take some ownership. Hey, deacons! Deacons, you are to carry the food. What about one of our deacons? Guy sitting in the back, scared to death. Doesn't have a home to live in. What's our job? Well, Pastor, you know, hey, I'm having a hard enough time myself. Well, maybe that's why you're having a hard time yourself, so that God will tell you, say, boy, preacher, I don't know if I, maybe I'll just back off and just let you go. But I'm going to tell you something. I got just a few more years in life, and I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to train you, as the Bible says. And I'm going to try my best to encourage you to do right and serve God. And when you end up in this life, God say, my good and faithful servant. Oh, good and what? Faithful servant. Servant. What is a servant? A servant never asks his master or tells his master what he's going to do. A servant says, Master, what will you want me to do? You never tell your master what to do. Is that correct? Is that proper? If you had a servant, you bought him with a price, he's yours. Then in the Old Testament time, there was the bond servant who said, the owner said, okay, 7 years is up, you can go. And he said, I don't want to go. He said, what do you mean you don't want to go? I want to stay here and be your servant. And the master would take him over, pull his ear out, and put a hole in his ear against the doorpost. And forever he was marked as a bond slave. He said, I am willing to do anything my master asks me to do. I don't tell my master no. I tell my master, yes, sir. I may say, when you want it done. We have lost it. Paul the Apostle said, I am a bondservant of the Lord. When I gave my life to the Lord, when I was about 22 years old, I said, dear God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I've gone through some of the most difficult times of my life. I had a farm back in Michigan, and we had a whole bunch of land to farm. My dad says, come on home and farm this place. And I wept, and I said, God, I don't know what you want me to do. And I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. Guess what? The day I said that night, God gave me the Delavan Baptist Church pastor. You say, wow. Yeah, 8 people. It wasn't wow. It was work. I worked 3 jobs plus pastor that church. You don't have to tell me about that stuff. But anything the Lord tells me to do, I'll be honest with you, I really don't care how you feel about it. If God tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm God's man. And I think that you've had 32 years that I've proved myself that I will do what God wants me to do. And I think that I've proved myself you can trust me. I've raised some of you, and now I'm raising your kids, and now I'm raising your grandkids as your pastor. The servant has no right to tell his master what to do. You remember the scripture where the Bible says, here comes a man. He comes home, they've been laboring, and the master sits down and tells the servant, get something for me to eat. And all these liberal thinker says, well, that's not fair. You should feed that servant. That's not what the servant's there for. The servant is there to take care of the master. That's what he's paid for. It's no big deal he does what he is supposed to do because that's what he's supposed to do. Don't be feeling bad about me that I do what God wants me to do and I'm busy and I run as fast as I can. And I try everything I can to serve God. I find ways to tell people about Jesus Christ. I find ways to tell people about the love of Christ. So are you too. Well, I go soul thing. Well, whoopee deal. The Bible said you're supposed to do it. That's no big deal. That's no crown on your head. Though God said, I will give you a crown about it. Well, I really take care of my family. Well, good for you. You're supposed to. I submit to my husband. I do what he tells me to. Hello, that's what you said. Obey. Some of you probably had penciled that out. Peter was not ready to minister to the other disciples. He was not ready to be a servant. He wanted to be served. By the way, you can come to Heritage Baptist Church and we'll serve you. But I will tell you something right now. You're going to be one miserable dude. You're going to be one miserable person if all you're doing is coming here and getting what you can get. You ought to be looking for ways to serve. Take the ownership. What can I do? Well, I gave you a list. Pastor, this is what I like to do. You ought to have so many things down there drive me crazy. Wear me out. What do I do? Hey, that's not too bad. I can tell what some of you do. I warm the seat on Sunday morning and sometimes Sunday night. And I go home. You know, if I was writing down, I'd say, I tithe. I tithe. It's amazing how many people tell the IRS they tithe. And lie. You say, I don't like that. It's life. For the most part, the disciples just sat back. Are you listening to me? The disciples just sat back and allowed the Lord to do His thing. Rick, I would faint. I would hope that if you or I were there, we would say, Lord, can I help you? You know where the fun is? Fun is serving. Fun is not being served. There's no fun in being served because you never get the right portion. And they never come on time. And it's always cold. Getting served is not the thing. Being a servant. Serving is what's fun. That's where it's at. Somebody just grunt or something. You know. You see, it takes humility and it takes much grace to be a servant to serve others. Because there are going to be people who sit there and want to be served, they're going to gripe all the time you're serving them. And you like to haul off and towel snap them. All of a sudden, you boys in high school gym remember those towel slaps. I don't know if you girls did, and I never was in there. But anyway. Wake up. Come on. Secondly, in this servitude, you need to learn to accept gracefully. On the other side of receiving, takes humility and grace to allow others to serve us. My mom, when she became very ill with cancer and found that she couldn't do things that she used to do, I came home just before she passed away, and I wanted to be with the Lord, and I was speaking to her on her deathbed. And she told me one of the hardest things she'd ever encountered in her sickness was to allow others to minister to her. I told her, Mom, I don't understand. And she said, well, all my life I've been there to minister to others. When I was a little girl and my mom and daddy separated and got divorced, I was the oldest sister. I had to take care of four sisters. Then they sent me to live at Grandpa's and Grandma Michael's. I had to help in the kitchen and out in the garden. And I had to take care of two other little sisters. And then my mom moved to Indiana, and we went to live with Uncle and Aunt and Uncle Harley. And he had a restaurant, and I had to work as a waitress. When I went away to college, I had to work my way through. When I finished college, I went out to the deaconess home in Everett, Washington at an orphanage and worked there. She said, I have always tried to be the helper in every situation of my life, which gives me great joy. I was a giver, but now I have nothing physically to give. I am spent. And with tears in her eyes, she said, I have nothing left to give. All I can do is graciously accept the love and generosity of my family and my friends and my health givers. According to the Word of God, and by the way, my mom found it at the end of the life, a submissive spirit is that it can both give and receive to the glory of God. John was very careful to point out that Peter and Judas had a completely different relationship to Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus washed Judas's feet. But it did Judas no good because he did not been bathed all over. And some people teach that Judas was the same man who sinned away his salvation. But that's not what Jesus said. Our Lord is very clear in that Judas had never cleaned from his sin and he was an unbeliever. John chapter 6 verse 64 says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, it's a wonderful thing to deepen your relationship and your fellowship with the Lord. It's an important thing to be honest with Him and honest with ourselves and to keep our feet clean. Thirdly, I want you to learn that servitude brings happiness. Jesus and the disciples in John chapter 13, verse 12 through 17, the key is if. That's right, if. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. There are so many people that know these things, but they don't do it. The sequence of importance is number one, humbleness, and secondly, holiness, then comes happiness. Aristotle defined happiness as good fortune joined to virtue, a life that is both agreeable and secure. Well, that might be doing the work for a philosopher, but it never worked for a Christian. Don't miss this. Happiness. I said happiness is a byproduct of a life that is lived in the will of God. When we humbly serve others, we walk in God's path of holiness and do what He tells us, then we will enjoy happiness. Jesus asked the disciples if they understood what He had done. And it is not likely that they did. Thank God He explained it. He had given them a lesson in humble service. An example for them to follow. The world thinks that happiness is a result of others serving us. But real joy comes when we serve others in the name of Jesus. I have a lady that comes to my house all the time. 10 o'clock in the morning, Monday, till 5 o'clock. I say, Sherry, thank you. And she says, on to the Lord. On to the Lord, preacher. I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this unto the Lord. It's really annoying when I say that. And it says, it's unto the Lord. I don't understand. I'm the preacher, remember? Just shut up. Thank you. Unto the Lord. He has given them a lesson of humble service, an example for them to follow. The world thinks that happiness is a result of others serving us. But real joy comes when we serve others in the name of the Lord, unto the Lord. The world is constantly pursuing for happiness. How many believe that? The world is constantly pursuing happiness. How many believe that? I'm asking to raise your hand if you believe that. Amen. If you don't, you're asleep. Hey, wake up. But that is like chasing a shadow. I saw the other day a cat chasing laser. And that cat was going crazy all over the room and up on the wall, all across the couch. Man, and it did chase it. Could he catch it? Nah. Can't catch it. It's really fun watching, so that made me happy, amen. It's always just out of their reach. Happiness is just out of their reach. It's always beyond their reach. By the way, Jesus was their master, and He had every right to command their service. Instead, He served them. He gave them an example of true Christian ministry. Could Jesus tell me to do something right now? Absolutely. Could Jesus have told those disciples, get down here and wash my feet? Absolutely. And no other question about it. But Jesus wanted us to understand that it's up to us to be servants. One more, on more than one occasion during the previous 3 years, He had taught this lesson about humility and service, but now Jesus Christ demonstrates it to them by this lesson. Perhaps the disciples remembered His lesson about the child in Matthew chapter 18. Or when He rebuked James and John when they asked to sit at the throne with Jesus Christ, Matthew 20. To the disciples, it was all starting to fall in place. The light starting to come on. The curtains are starting to rise. The servant slave is not greater than his master. So if the master becomes a slave, where does it put the slave? On the same level as the master. By becoming a servant, our Lord did not push us down. He literally lifted us up. He dignified the service and sacrifice. When God calls you to do something, bless God, do it. Surrender yourself. Be a servant. Quit your griping. Quit your complaining. Well, there's a lot of people that should be doing something. It just seems like I'm the only one doing this. You just lost your blessing from God. You just started complaining. I think there's a man who got underneath the juniper tree one day and said, Lord, there it is.
Lord, if there's nobody else but me. Who was he?
He was Elijah who called fire down from heaven. Stop the rain. Raised person from the dead. Are you kidding me? Don't you think he had power? I've had enough of this. You know, old Jezebel, she's gonna have me. Are you kidding me? You just killed 450 priests. The people of Israel are called, they're in the God, they're in the God, they're in the God, they're in the God. Remember, I'm coming down. He takes off, run 50 miles. And he hides. What's an incredible thing is I don't know any of us could have done the 50 miles. But Jesus Christ dignified sacrifice and service. It is not your responsibility, young man, to worry about what everybody else is doing. It's your responsibility to worry about yourself. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. By the way, when you're doing it and nobody else is doing it, guess what God's doing? Tink, 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 tink. He's adding you blessings. Nobody else will come to Cameroon. You're going. Quit your whining. Oh, I just need some people to help me. Woe is me. People don't love me. I'm the only one clean in the church. Wait a minute. Why are you clean at the church? Are you doing it unto the Lord? You're doing it on yourself. If you're doing it on yourself, you ain't going to last very long. You're going to quit our church. You go someplace else where they have paid cleaners. I worked a bus all the time. Nobody comes to help me. You ain't going to last very long. You're doing it for man's praise. Oh, preacher says, God bless you, Brother Rick. Man, you're doing a great job. One day, the preacher doesn't even wave at him because he doesn't see him. He said, boy, that's the way this church is, I'll tell you. You're not doing that to me, stupid. I mean, You're not doing that to me, ignoramus. That was just a little nicer, right? You're doing that to the Lord. Everything that happens at Heavenly Baptist Church is to glorify and raise the Lord Jesus Christ's name up. Not to raise you up. We're servants. He said, Pastor, I don't like doing that. How many have a baby? How many going to have a baby? Oh, hey, good. Somebody raised their hand. You forgot you hadn't told anybody yet. Didn't know that. Amen. But anyway, just to pray for you, man. When that baby comes out, surprise, surprise, surprise. They need filter changing. And sometimes that filter don't smell very good. And you go like this. How many ever done that? Yeah. Do you stop?
You poop your pants one more time, kid, you won't see.
I was in Poland one time. I seen this kid had so much refuge behind him. And I asked the guy, I said, what the deal? He said, 30, 40 pounds. Thank you. You don't get it. Yeah, you do. You won't even go with me on that one, will you? The servant has no rights. We pride ourselves in America. I have my right. I have my right to bear arms. I have my right to come to church and speak my peace. I have my right to cast my vote. We got a lot of rights. Right? How many like that? Yeah, me too. Yep. But a servant has no rights. The servant is only dedicated to the service of his master. Are you a servant of God tonight? Say, Lord, whatever. Troubles may come, heartaches may come. Lord, you understand this. Don't you give me that baloney. I don't understand what I don't understand this stuff. Do troubles come?
Heartaches come. Unbelievable things. And you're saying, are you kidding me? Here they come. But don't you ever say that to your master. I want you to clean that up. Are you kidding me? Your life is not worth much when you say that to your master. Are you kidding me? You want me to go to Cameroon? Why would I want to go there? That's Africa. They got AIDS and they got bugs and snakes and they got... they just got bad stuff there. What do you say? Mr. Swenson, what do you say? Hey, you're the master. I'm the lowly servant. Okay. You know what? You're safer in Africa, and you'd be safer here. Some of you parents, one of these days, you're going to say, I believe God called me to Iraq. And you go, oh my God, no, my baby. And the Lord nudges and say, I thought a long time ago when that baby was born, you said, Lord, we will be behind anything that child believes God has for him to do.
Amen.
What's going on? You say, well, that's getting kind of personal. You're a servant. You have no personal life. Now, when all this has happened, who are the leaders in Jerusalem? The Romans. Right? The Romans. You must keep in mind that the Romans had no use for humility. They were very, very proud people. And you also got to remember the Greeks despise manual labor. I'm not going to do that. I'll get somebody else to do it for me. I'm not going to do that. Jesus combined these two when he washed his disciples' feet. The world asks, how many people work for you? But the Lord asks, how many people do you work for and serve? Who? You serve? Are you a servant? God calls us servants. God calls us to sacrifice. Well, Pastor, I might not have enough money to go do this if I have to give that. I've proven God so many times on that. I'll tell you what, when you give to somebody, God... Take your Bible and turn to... I hope I can remember it. Hebrews... I think it's Hebrews 6:10. Yes. Boy, God's good when you keep your brain. Amen. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. What does that say to me? When God calls you to do something, and you say, Lord, I don't have it, but I'm going to do it. You're the master. I'm the servant. Here it is. God is not unrighteous to forget that. He will always remember it. I remember when we first bought this building, there ain't nobody had a new car. Everybody had junkers. I'm telling you what, just a pile of junk up front. People started giving. All of a sudden, I seen people driving new pickups. A new car. I'm not talking about a, what do you call that? I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking about a God who takes care of me. God don't forget you. You do something nice, God somehow does something back nice to you. For whatsoever a man sow, Warren Wiersbe tells when he is ministering to a conference in Kenya, Africa. An African believer shared one of their proverbs with him. Sir, the chief is servant of all. Sir, the chief as servant of all. How true, we need some leaders who will serve and servants who will lead. How true, we need some slaves that just say, you know what? It ain't about me. It's all about him. And I'm going to do everything I can to make my master happy. That means I find things that need to be done and I do them. Not expecting a pat on my back, because if I expect that, I'm going to burn out and I'm out of here. Well, people just don't appreciate me. I played the piano. I played the organ. I sang. Praise the Lord. I cleaned the church. I do this. I do that. I worked that stinking nursery and cleaned them stinking babies all these years. What did I get for it? Hey. It wasn't for you. It was for him. And if you do things and you know the Lord is going to take care of you, you won't leave a church. Well, they just don't appreciate me there anymore. How many ever heard anybody say that? Just don't appreciate me anymore. Boy, they used to love my work, but they don't care about me. And some new member came in and they just started making accolades about them. We had a church when I was youth pastor. Family came to church, and my wife and I went over and invited them to come to church. They got baptized, joined the church. Man, we just worked with them. But another family, just before that, my wife and I were working with them. They got so mad they quit the church because Sheldon and Marcia didn't come over there and pay too much attention to that new members. I thought we were supposed to do that, to work and try to get new people in the church. It ain't about you. Are you kidding me? This is not about you. Look at me. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about him. And you better get over it. And don't give me that pride. Oh, I'll tell you what. This church could not do without me. It probably could do a lot better without you. Ooh. I said one time, you know what? If you don't like it, we need the room. I'll never say that again. I would like to work with you a little bit. Amen. G.K. Charleston said, a really great man is one who makes others feel great. Isn't that good? That's what Jesus did to his disciples and all others, by teaching them to serve. Let me remind you, however, it is not enough to have information or to know the truth, but it's to put it in practice. I've wasted this whole night if I don't get somebody to say, you know what? It's not about me. I've wasted this whole night if you get burnt out and say, boy, I'm tired of doing that. I've been doing it week after week after week after week. Why are you doing it? Let me ask you, why are you doing this? Why do you leave the choir all the time? Why do you come and preach when I'm gone? Why do you do that? Oh, because I'm serving the pastor. You're going to be really disappointed. You ought to find somebody that can't pay you back and find somebody that cannot give you accolades and do something for them. Amen. You won't get burned out that way. Well, I know he has a lot of money. I know they have a lot of money. Hey, they're not sharing with me. Well, I heard that you gave that family something. You didn't give me nothing. God didn't tell me to give you anything. God spoke to my heart to help them. And I got just enough to get by, and I'm just passing it out. God gives me something, I pass it out. I give it something, I pass it out. That's what it's about. You're watching your clock at 7:47, like an airplane, amen. About coming in for landing. When we read scriptures like James 1:22-27, James makes it very clear that blessings of God come when you're doing of the word and not hearing it only. Again, the Greek scholar Weiss translated James chapter 1 verse 25, this man shall be prosperous spiritually in his doing. Hey, look around. It may not be money. It may be the health of a child. It may be that old junker just keep running. It may be that laundry, that old washing machine just keeps rattling along. And you don't have to fix it yet. When studying John 13, it stirs us emotionally, enlightens us intellectually, but it cannot bless us spiritually until we do what Jesus tells us to do. I've met a lot of Christians that have a lot of wealth of knowledge in the Word of God. And by the way, that should be the goal of every Christian, to study and know this precious book. I've also met a bunch of Christians that are proud of their ignorance of the Word of God. Shame on them. The Bible said, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law does He meditate. Paul told you in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the only way of lasting happiness. Peter preached, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Number four, learn to live by the Scriptures. The Bible reminds us to keep these lessons, to live them in their proper sequence. Humbleness, holiness, and then happiness. I'm always looking for formulas. I'm always looking for recipes. And those recipes I like to find is what God has given in His precious Word. I'm always digging in the Word of God to find nuggets that will sustain me for today. For today. Not tomorrow. Today has enough evil in it, let alone to have to worry about tomorrow's evil. You know what's going on. You wouldn't even get up tomorrow morning if you knew what was going to happen to you tomorrow. Here's God's formula of true spiritual joy. Ready? One, submit to the Father. Lord, You are my master. I will do anything You call me to do. I will take anything You do. June 6, 2011. I told you people on that Wednesday night, don't mess this thing up. I don't understand it, but I know God has something in this for us. You said, have you figured it out yet? No. But He's my master. Hey, Roy, you figured it out? What happened to your wife when she fell down the steps? Have you figured that one out yet? Figure out why? Hey, Fern, have you figured out why that you got vertigo? Where's Rachel? Have you figured out why? In all this, Job did not charge him foolishly. You don't know what's going on in your life. Remember the kid at the Crown that were killed in that van? No, I think, a couple years later, some more were killed. Brother Saxon still doesn't know. We don't understand that stuff. What are one of the most precious Christian deputies 3 weeks ago, a madman, run over him. Why? And leave a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old and a wife that dearly loved her husband. And two little, a boy and a girl that dearly loved their daddy. But I read a note that she said today. She said, Joe, I really miss you, but God's sure helping us through this thing. Why did a 49-year-old deputy down in Lewis, Clark County, down in Helena, die this week? And I have to go to his funeral tomorrow. Why did the fireman, 66 years old, come around a corner and somehow that truck come over and crushed him and he laid in the hospital for a few weeks and he died? Why? It's not mine to question. I just go to the Master and say, Master, I promise you that I give myself, and Lord, when I forget that, remind me that I've promised to submit to you. Number two, keep your life clean. Keep your life clean. When these things happen to you, you say, boy, God's beating me up on this thing. How many of you ever know about that? Yeah. And God can beat us pretty bad. So keep your life clean. And number three, will you do this for the Lord? Serve others. You say, I'm going to serve Jesus, but these human beings, I ain't going to do nothing with them. I'm serving Jesus. That's what I wrote on my little pad there. Heritage Baptist Church, I'm serving Jesus, but I ain't going to work with them human beings. They drive me crazy. They are mean, they're cantankerous, they're ornery. I'm not going to have nothing to do with those people, but I'm going to serve Jesus. Well, you serve Jesus by serving others. Even if they have bad breath, even if the job you're called to do makes you sick, even if they don't have manners and they don't appreciate it, and you're saying, doggone it, I've given myself, or dadnabbit, I've given myself, I've taken myself away from my family, and I've taken myself away from my children, and I've taken myself away from my fun time to come over and help this jerk that doesn't even appreciate me. Who knows? The Master knows. And He knows the time that you've given up of your time with your family and your friends and your quote on time to be away. The Master knows. But don't blow it. Don't do that. Well, He's a jerk. Just be quiet and meek and lowly like the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think the Lord Jesus Christ must have felt when He was washing Judas Iscariot's feet? Most of you now, I'm not even going there where what you've done. But Jesus bowed Himself to him and washed His dirty, stinking, filthy, sinful feet that was just about to go and get Him arrested. And He washed His feet. I bet He teared. I bet He cried. I bet He said, Judas, if you only knew who I am, if you only believed in me, I could just so much I could do for you, but you just won't listen. That's your attitude. If you have the other attitude, you're going to lose out on all the blessings. Y'all understand that? You say, good night, preacher. I thought you were going to land this thing. I landed it. We have a job to do. Our job? Serve the Lord. With gladness. Enjoyment. They may not enjoy. They may not appreciate. They may not give you kudos. They may not send you a thank you note. I had a family one time said, I took that preacher out. He never even sent me a thank you note. If that's why you took him out to give a thank you note, let me just give you a thank you note and don't take him out to eat. Because you just lost the whole blessing of the whole thing. You all understand that?
Well, she didn't remember me. He didn't wave at me. He didn't shake my hand. He didn't say boogie, boogie, boogie to my little baby.
We're a fickle bunch of goofballs, amen? Come on, say amen. Yes, you are, because I know you people out there. I'm a fickle goofball preacher. Yes, I am. Amen. He's still working on me. That's right, baby. He's working on all of us. And if we can just get to the point where we forget about all our junk and all of our expectations and be the servant that God expects us to be, without question, we'll have a lovely, godly church. A Jesus church. But if we have to have someone give us a doctorate or somebody give us a whatever, a plaque, or give us something, and that's the only way we're doing it, we've lost it. And it's not for the Lord, it's for me. Y'all getting it? If you don't, I hope you get it. My dad said, you want something to cry about? I gave you something to cry about. Let's man up. Let's lady up. Let's child up. Let's teenage up. Say, you know what? It's not about me. When I'm home and things don't go the way I expect them to, it's not about me. It's about the family. And folks, this is about the family of God. Father in heaven, I ask you, Lord, to bless this. Lord, I don't even know where to go with it. I know you spoke to my heart about this, and you've been speaking to my heart about servitude. You've been speaking to me about the indictment that you make towards us. I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight that we would accept you as our master, and Lord, that we'd fall on our face before you and say, yes, master. Whatever you want, Master. I want your will, Master, not mine. Lord, change us that we would walk close to you. Lord, a sermon like this does no good unless somebody does something about it. Lord, change our heart, change our mind, change our attitudes, change our way of thinking that we would think the Bible way and not humanistic in the And the way that we see things, but the way you see things. Heads about eyes are closed. You're here tonight. Say, preacher, there are some things in my heart and my life I need to take care of. I need God to get control of it. It's not about me. It's about the Master. I wonder what Jesus thinks tonight when he looks down from heaven and looks at Heritage Baptist Church. He knows all about us. He knows our idiosyncrasies. He knows our way of thinking. Some people's way of thinking is, boy, if I can just get by this sermon, I'll be okay. What are you going to do about it? Nancy? Altar's open. Altar's open. Let's stand. Come on. It's not about me.